was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Hello, my good friends. Thank you for joining us. This is Eric, the Freedom Dreamer, sitting in for Tom and Lori. Resurrect the Republic being broadcast worldwide on the RBN Network. Thank you for joining us. We have an interesting show tonight. What did we learn in the last hour? Oh, a whole bunch of things. I'd like to pull up something I just found here during the break, and I think I hit a bit of a nice little gold mine here. This is part of the research. I spent hours at the library today scanning books and researching freedom, and I came up with the statute law of the state of New York, and I just discovered a very brief thing here I want to read to very important to our New York listeners. And anyone else? Oh, very good. Okay, we'll be with John in 1 second. You know what we'll do? We're going to do John now, and we'll do my stuff later, because he's kind enough to join us from the West Coast. John Lamb, are you with us, my friend, for an update on the trials in Oregon and or Nevada?
Yes, I can give you a short update on Oregon. We didn't have court today. We won't have court here till Tuesday of next week. The judge kind of gave us some dark days since we got the jury seated now. The lawyer, Marcus Mumford, for Ammon Bundy was in court yesterday and had some motions and stuff that he placed. He's the lawyer that got tased after we got the not guilty verdict for his clients. And he ended up getting charged with three federal misdemeanor charges, and he's fighting his own court case now. He had one of those charges did get dropped today, but the judge still hasn't made up his mind whether he's going to continue with the other two charges or not. But he has decided at this point that if he does continue, Marcus Mumford doesn't have a right to a jury trial.
Oh, boy.
So we're still fighting the same thing. What they're trying to do with all these guys is if they're misdemeanor charges, they claim they don't have a constitutional right to a jury trial anymore.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So,
it is. But over in Nevada, they had court today. They had several witnesses that were brought up on the stand again today, and mostly BLM agents and officers and employees again. And a couple of those, the officers were caught misrepresenting or lying again today on the stand. And so that was some good news. They can't keep to their report. It's been over two years now, almost 3 years, since the Bundy deal there in Bunkerville. And so these agents, they just can't remember exactly what happened back there word for word, and their stories are not matching up with their statements.
Oh, that can only be good for the accused.
It's really good for them. The attorneys are really in high spirits because of everything that's going on. It's looking good. The jurors are seeing through it, and even the jurors are at one point today broke out in laughter when one of the defense attorneys commented on one of the witnesses and mentioned that he lied, and he started stuttering around, and the jurors broke out with laughter. I thought it was very interesting and funny that this witness got caught up lying.
We had a similar occurrence today in New York. Wow, it's funny. Yeah, keep going, John.
So yes, it was a good day there. We have a couple great people over there reporting, and they've been calling me once or twice a day, telling me everything that's going on. And that's the last day of court over there in Nevada through next week. The judges decided to let everybody off for President's Day. The rest of tomorrow, through the weekend, and all of next week, there will be no court in Nevada. So today makes day 8 of the trial. We're at day 2 here in Oregon. And with us having court next week, we'll be at day 7 when they go back to day 9. So we're almost going to catch up with them. We're going to be tying with the days in court. So these two trials could end up ending almost at the same time.
Fascinating.
So we're excited, though, to get it coming to an end here, you know, hopefully in the next 3 or 4 weeks, and coming back with some verdicts for these guys. And because we feel confident right now that we're going to get not guilties. We've got some good jurors sitting there, and they're very attentive and listening to the facts.
Fantasticals. Wow, we appreciate that, John. Man, thanks for joining us. Is there anything else you can report that fill in any last little details? I didn't want to keep you too long because I know you're like Superman flying back between Oregon and Nevada. I don't know how you're doing it, but nice work.
It's been busy. It's been busy, yes. I'll be here in Oregon through next week. And I'll be able to report about Oregon because, there's no court in Nevada next week, so I'm going to stay in Oregon for the complete next week. The following week after, on the 27th, I'll get back to Nevada. That'll be their first day back to court, and I'll be over there reporting for a week or 10 days. So it's going good. I'll be glad to get back to some warmer weather. It's raining here in Portland.
Can y'all hear me?
Go ahead, Dean. Ask your question.
Okay. He should already know this, but he needs to ask the judge, is this going to cost me more than $21 or more than $20? If it costs more than $20, he automatically can ask for a jury trial. I mean, that's under the Constitution, and they can't go against that. When he goes against that, he disqualified himself automatically, mandatorily, all those things I read before, so...
We've had 3 judges in the last month do this exact same thing, all federal judges from Nevada and 2 of them in Oregon. They have been denying everybody that I've been coming across, they've been denying them any cost. They say it's a privilege to have a jury, not a right. So they're doing just like they're doing with the driver's licenses, and, you know, that's another subject, but all these things, they're taking these rights away and turning them into privileges, and they're denying our constitutional rights. And we're speaking to deaf ears on these judges because they come up with all these fake rules and laws that we know don't apply, and they're just denying these people. They denied these defendants here in the Bundy case in Oregon here. They denied them a jury trial on 7 misdemeanor charges, and they've also denied Marcus Mumford, and he's an attorney that's been practicing law for over 25 years, and they've denied him a jury trial. And he's facing over $1,000 in fine and up to 6 months in jail.
That's the threat.
That's over $20. He gets a jury trial.
Yep, and they're denying him that right, telling him he doesn't have a right.
What they're doing is, They're claiming that their judicial procedure law, which is stuff they make up, supersedes the constitutional right for a jury trial, and that, like John just said, the judges are saying it in public. Your right to a jury trial doesn't exist. You have a privilege of a jury trial, and that's the way it is, and we're not going to give you that privilege. We're deciding that if it's, I know in New York the threshold is 6 months. It's not whether it's a misdemeanor or not.
It's whether there's 6 months or more jail time attached to. That's why they're limiting the jail time to 6 months. I knew it. There's a, and I'm sure he knows it because he's an attorney out there. But there's a 6 month clause. Yeah, if it's less than 6 months in jail time attached to the charges, they say, well, no need for a jury trial. Too small of a matter. As if 5.5 months of tearing yourself away from your life and going to jail is somehow a small matter. The judges want to try you themselves, and like you're really going to get a fair shake from the attorney whore dressed up like a Luciferian. Sorry about my language. But
I agree with you.
So, yeah. John, continue on, and if you want to get anything else in before we you're welcome to stay with us as long as you want. I heard you might be in a bit of a hurry.
Well, I am. I just left another show to come on here, so and I appreciate coming on and giving you some updates. I've got another one to go to here shortly. But
you do that.
I would say on Tuesday morning or Tuesday evening, I'll have lots of more updates by that time.
All right, that sounds good. Why don't we do this? Tomorrow, if you have anything, we either give you a call or you can call us and say, yeah, or it's slow, don't worry about it till Tuesday, and we'll catch you next week. Either one. But if something breaks, we want to get you back on tomorrow, if that's okay.
Okay, I'll definitely call you if something breaks for sure. But I enjoy being on, and it's an honor to be on.
Anytime. John, thank you. Thanks for joining us. Much appreciated. Fantastic reporting, fantastic activism, fantastic courtroom observing. We can find your information pretty much on the Internet just by typing in John Lamb, L-A-M-B as in boy.
Yes.
Very good.
And,
find John Lamb on the Internet, folks. He's doing a great job out there, and we really appreciate it, John.
Thank you, and have a good day,
John. Is your email out there, too, John?
Yeah, I do have an email address. My email is Lambo, that's with two B's, so it's lambbo72@gmail.com.
Okay, that's Lambo, L-A-M as in Michael, then double B as in boy, and then O, L-A-M-B-B-O, 72?
Yes, 72@gmail.com.
Very good, at Gmail. John, thanks for joining us. Appreciate everything you're doing out there.
Thank you a lot. Thanks a lot. Talk to you all later.
All right. Have a good night now. Very
Bye.
Good. That was very very important to have John on because he's. This is about the only place I didn't get any updates on the trial until just now. So I hope everybody values this. I know I'm valuing it. We're having some great guests and some great listeners. I'm learning something every day. I learned a lot today for observing and spending several hours at the library scanning books and doing research. And guess what I just found going through deep in the pile of printouts that the nice lady at the library was so sweet enough to print out for me. And this goes back to the 1881, updated in 1923, and never changed or repealed any of it. And it says, compromising the revised statutes. This is statute law of the state of New York. I think our New York listeners and everybody else may be interested in this brief. This is what I was looking for all along. This is the statute law of the state of New York, chapter 3, the oath of office and the official bond. As you go down chapter 3, it says IBID, I-B-I-D, subsection, it says 1 RS 121, subsection 31.12. Once again, this is Chapter 3 of the Statute Law of the State of New York. This is going way back. And then the section under Chapter 3, which is the official oath and bond section, says 1 RS 121, subsection 31.12. Penalty for acting without oath or bond. If any person shall execute any of the duties or functions of any office without having taken and subscribed the oath of office required by law, or without having executed and filed in the proper office any bond required by law, he shall forfeit the office to which he may have been elected or appointed, and shall be deemed guilty of a misdemeanor punishable by fine or imprisonment. There it is. That's the one that has the teeth in it. And it's very clear. That one was not a very tough read. They used to write stuff, and this is the old law. The older you get, the better you are, the more standing you have. The new stuff's all garbage. And if a court's honest and just, for their own attorneys, they'll go back and honor the oldest of laws. But the new stuff, if it comes from the... this is why you can have the best paperwork in the world, but activism trumps paperwork every time. So once again, penalty acting for acting without oath or bond can be as a misdemeanor punishable by fine or imprisonment in the state of New York under Chapter 3 of the statute law of the state of New York. And that's the oath and bond section. And that does not include public officers law, which requires a surety bond. And I believe there was something in the New York State Constitution regarding this, and I haven't quite uncovered that yet. So, but we're working on it. And so there's some valuable information for anybody, especially our New York listeners, but anyone around the country can look up a commensurate, or what do you call it, a matching similar statute in their state. Because these statutes usually metastasize throughout the whole country. This was, happens to be a good one, and we need to start using the statutes that are on the books, whatever they are, whatever we can use, all the tools in the box, so to speak. So I know a friend of mine likes to always say that, you know, use their own statutes and codes and rules and regulations, use the common law, use ancient precepts and court case precedent, and use everything you can and make the best case for yourself that you can. And whether you win or not, the victory is God's. We're just delegated to storm the gates of hell, come what may. Any comments on that one, Chris?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was paying attention to Dean's suggestions on the 455, 18455, and I was reading some of that actual citations from the Acts of Congress. And it seems to me that when they talk about extrajudicial, I'm got a little tickle in my throat. They're talking about the judge when he acts outside the scope and sphere of his law in his private capacity, therefore devoiding himself of any pretextual errors of immunity, so that he acts as a private individual and becomes culpable, liable, and suitable for his private miscarriages of justice, abuse of discretion. That's R60B for those who pay attention to that sort of stuff. It goes 1 through 6, but you never use 5 because that's a general one, and you have to plead abuse of discretion with extreme specificity. But these are really critical things that we learn when we investigate and study those law and read the congressional acts, the actual law that appertains to these so-called codes and statutes that they operate under. But the judges must also comply with the law. And when they don't, they become outlaws. They commit treason. They war against the Constitution, war against the people. And, of course, their Foreign Agent Registration Act bar agents in most cases and of the Crown Temple Bar, and therefore they're supposed to have Foreign Agent Registration Act forms. And it's my contention that they are operating under the presumption that Mr. Mumford, along with the others there in Oregon, are all 14th Amendment subject serf slave citizens, and many of the attorneys don't know the stuff that you and I and many of the people on RTR, on Tom's show, learn about the burdens of the 14th Amendment so-called subject slave serf small c federal citizenship and the horrendous amount of loss of privileges that you have or protections. Truly, the people's rights are secured in the 10th Amendment as others belonging to the people, far exceeding the contemplations of governments of mere men. And only some of those are listed in the enumerated protections from government that are listed in the Constitutional Bill of Rights. And 14th Amendment subject slave serf citizens, small c federal citizens, particularly only enjoy about the first 8. They don't have all the rights guaranteed and secured to them. And including due process protections is one of the things they talk about. And when you claim due process, it must incorporate both statutory and procedural due process in order to have standing under a federal suit under Title 42, 1983, or 18, 1962. Thank you.
I was just going to say, Chris, now, that you know and realize, or at least I got paperwork here, the states of 14th, 15th, and 16th Amendment were never ratified.
Oh, absolutely. This is what Tom Lacovara and
Bruce Ray Riggs have been preaching forever. Of course, L.B. Bork and the Red Amendment's been on that, and Paul Andrew Mitchell. There's a lot of investigators, John Benson, Roger Sales, Lynn Amborg. There are a lot of people who are onto this who've actually studied, and they realize it was all a ruse. It was never lawfully passed. In fact, Seward was the one who actually signed it, and he didn't have the authority to sign it in the law, so therefore he impostured as having the authority. Much like these BLM agents that were testifying today, they think that they're actually government services and they operate under law. They don't understand the agency relationship of the Administrative Procedures Act, Title 5, the United States Code 551 at SEC, which is the headless fourth branch, not of government, but outside of government, extra-governmental, extra-jurisdictional. That's why they don't have to stay within law. They can become outlaws because they are under the legislative powers of the Chief Executive Officer, the Commander-in-Chief, and his War Powers Act, subject to the Lever Code, and his ability to declare these eternal wars ad infinitum, and therefore they operate under the War Powers Act, and we've been declared enemies of the state as belligerents to the federalist government, which is really the central Sovietized federal government. Thank you.
I was going to make also, and it's interesting again, because this goes right back to what Eric wanted to get into after the break, with Dean, if he's still with us, about the squabble between the Articles of Confederation and the Constitution.
Ah, yes, the Anti-Federalist versus the Federalist.
Yeah. Everybody reads the Federalist papers, but they don't read the one they really need, and that's the Anti-Federalist. Because the Federalist wanted to be a strong government, federal government, and the Anti-Federalist wanted to be small government, and the people run it, not the government run the people. So, but one of the easiest ways I explain what's going on right now to people is with those three acts of evil: the Banking Act, the War Powers Act, and the Trading with Enemies Act. Is basically they put us under military law, martial law, whichever one you want to call it, but I believe it's military rule. And it's like we're prisoners of war, we're on work release. Long as we go out here and pay their license fees and permit fees and all this stuff and follow their rules, we can be out there on work release and do sweat equity and help them make money. When we break those things, they bring us in as prisoners of war. They don't tell us that, but that's basically what they're doing. And what we got to do is go back to, we are the people. We're the owners, not y'all. And those judges go back under that disqualification because what is the supreme law of the land? And all of them have to go by it. Their supreme law of the land is the Constitution. They have to abide by that Constitution. And no procedure can override that Constitution. They have to put in a constitutional amendment change to override that. I haven't seen them do it, and the judge can't do it. It has to be done by Congress. And that hasn't been done. So this thing about them saying that you can't have this and you can't have that when the Constitution says you can, wouldn't that be an act of treason? It's definitely a violation of their oath. So, you know, need to get that to John. That's why I was asking about his email. Because, you know, these guys, the only thing that allows them to do this stuff is we don't act on it. We don't stop them. Yeah. We, the people, have to stop them. And we should be able, do y'all know when you go into federal court, the bailiff that's there, is he just a contractor, a security guard, or is he a federal marshal?
He's a contractor and a security guard and a private hit squad that does asset specializes in asset forfeiture and just specializes in asset forfeiture and seizure and protecting the witch's court. That's their two main functions now. Those are the U.S. That is the U.S. Marshals Service, which was unlawfully changed. I believe it was in 1971 from the U.S. Marshals, the Continental Marshal, the Constitutional Marshal that had lawful authority, to the U.S. Marshals Service, privatized corporate. Now doing asset forfeiture and seizure and judicial protection, they call it.
So that's their main function now, is asset forfeiture and seizure. That's where they make all their money, and then they were divvying it up with the local police departments, but I heard the bemoaning on one of our local radio stations of a large police department former chief bemoaning the fact that they weren't going to get all this money from asset forfeiture and seizure, and he made some really bizarre statements about pre-crime and you know, stuff that was just real futuristic type, you know, the darkest places that the enemy would take you under a police state. I mean, I'm not talking about good police keeping people safe and keeping the streets, you know, safe or whatever on that. I'm talking about, you know, initiatives that involved and just all kinds of, you know, robotic stuff. It was you could tell who he was working for, and he wasn't working for the people. Very command and control, very, very much trying to predict future crime. Very pro-drug war, you know, let's keep that drug war going, and we know that only enriches the system. They love that drug war, and I won't get going on that just now because we'll spend all the rest of the night talking about that. But, Dean, you have anything else to say on that? Or Chris, we got about 2 or 3 minutes, and we have a break coming up. Who wants to take that couple of minutes?
If you don't mind, I've got a question for Dean. Dean, I'm wondering if you don't consider that we maybe are seeing what looks like a bar or a judicial coup d'etat here in America, where they're really trying to take over the country under their bar control rules as foreign agents of the crown, and they're starting to act like that we're just the peons on the manor at the pleasure of the king and his potentate.
Oh, it's already been done. I mean, that is basically the system we're under. No doubt about it. And the thing is, though, when they went for that Constitution instead of the Articles, there's two ways to look at that. They committed sedition and treason by going against the Articles, which they swore to uphold. They were supposed to go in there, and they were supposed to fix those Articles so that they could do the things that they needed to get done, but some of the states didn't like it. They didn't even show up. And they needed those states to show up to have a quorum. Well, when they made this Constitution, they didn't sign that Constitution to send it out. They sent it out and had the states say, yeah, we could probably go with that. Some states did, some states didn't. Okay? When they did that, though, they basically said, how about if we run this under this Constitution, this contract here, until we can straighten out these Articles of Confederation? It looked like it should have been a short-term thing because they were supposed to meet and fix the Articles. But to fix the Articles, they had to get a quorum, and some of the states didn't want to go along with that. And that's all out there on that website at unionstatesassembly.org. Oh, and by the way, out there on that, there's also a place out there that you can sign up and get notices of when we're having a call to explain what we're doing. And also in there, you can send me an email, and I can send you some information also. So, but anyway, I think I've used up more than 2 minutes here. Well, I don't have good at music, though.
I hear the music.
Perfect. No, it was perfect, Dean. Way to go, man. You did great. That was just right. Yeah, very interesting on what you just said about fixing the Articles. And then, hey, if they don't have a quorum, you don't have consent. Anyway, we'll be right back at the bottom of the hour. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer on the RPN Network.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that LimeScale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate LimeScale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Take a quick break, and we'll be right back
already.
With Derek the Freedom Screamer. Okay, we're on the air. All right, sorry about that. We had a little technical glitch there, folks. Thanks for hanging in there with us. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. We're on the RBN Network. This is Resurrect the Republic. We're filling in for Tom and Lori. I'll be in this week. And we have with us tonight Keith Jones from Kansas. We have Dean from Virginia, talking about the Articles of Confederation and the Union States Assembly. We also have Chris in Las Vegas. We have a nice little roundtable going here. So I want to welcome everybody back to the Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network. Thanks for joining us. And why don't we just pick up where we left off? Chris, were you making a comment?
Well, Dean and I were just kind of discussing about the difference between the continental U.S. Marshals and some new international marshals, international continental marshals, I guess he was calling them, which will have basically war tribunal powers to go out and arrest some of these global criminals of these Illuminati that think that they're better than the rest of us on the Podesta stuff and the pizza and the money scams and the global arms dealing and the Hillary Clintons and the Rumsfelds and all these other international war criminals.
Agreed. Keith, you have any comments for us?
That Marshall's service there, I'm really excited about that. I want to learn more about that.
Well, that'll
work
right
in with what we need to do to get the judges out of there.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things that we're working with a person out of Nevada, otherwise, and he's actually got a facility down there for people to get trained and everything else for this very purpose as well. Dean, so.
He's been
we're in touch with the Hague, and actually it's actually been, I don't want to say blessed, but it's been, the Hague's also agreed to it in all purposes too, and said that it needs to be done as well. So it, he's taken all the steps necessary to be able to put it together. So that's why I want to see what you're doing and what we're doing to get together and see what we can get, because if the two of us, we can get together with what we're all trying to do, we can accomplish a lot and take back, and I'm sure Chris agrees because my hours are still with him, that we can accomplish a lot of damage in this country, and both in the courts as well as in just the private sector as well, for a lot of stuff that's going under corruption as well.
Yeah, Keith doesn't mean damage to us. He means damage to the enemy. He often uses that word that throws me off a little bit. But Keith means damage to the Antichrist system and benefit to the freedom movement and the people of this fine country who are attempting to resurrect the Republic. Thanks for being with us tonight, people. We're having an interesting discussion. I want to see if Chris has any comments on the international situation that you were talking about. What were you bringing up over the break, Chris? I forgot
we were just talking about a couple of different concepts, one being a U.S., you might call it domestic or continental U.S. is the real terminology for it, which is really what we operated here in America. We used to have the Continental Marshals. That's what the U.S. Marshals were. It turned into the Marshals Service. Of course, whenever the corporate government took over our government here in America, they also took over the Marshals Service and the other agencies of government and put them all under the Administrative Procedures Act. But what Dean was talking about is the international marshals, which have global power to go out and arrest these war criminals. Of course, if you don't have moral, righteous, upstanding men to hold these offices, then they are subject to falling prey to the predatory activities and avariciousness that possesses men who have lustful souls for other stuff, and if they can figure out how to arrest war criminals, it'll pay them up big bribes and stuff. They can be co-opted and corrupted just like the rest of them have.
Yeah. Possible.
And what we have to do is we have to make the punishment worse than what that reward would be.
Right.
That's something you can always do, is have an incentivization, although a reward going to a finder or somebody doing the arresting might be appropriate. If the bulk of it goes back to reduce the debt of America or the debt of the world's people, that from taking it back from these people who have stolen it from them under these usurious debt schemes of renting their so-called fictitious Federal Reserve notes, which are only backed by, it's pretty income paper is all it really is, backed by the dwindling faith of the American people and the rest of the people in the world. Of course, they're doing everything they can to prop up that funny money with their preposterous illusions that this actually has some value, and they're using it to manipulate the markets like the LIBOR and the commodities exchanges and the stock markets and everything else are all phony numbers propped up by the so-called entities that operate the government. And that gives you the illusion that there's actual value when it's really just propped up with gumballs and tape and coat hangers and duct tape and everything else trying to keep it like it's afloat.
Come on, Chris. The American dollar is backed up by the good faith and credit of the United States corporate government. Come on. As if there's any good faith or credit in our corporate government. It's absurd. Chris was right. Our currency is backed up by nothing. It used to be backed up by, an ideal.
Gold and silver.
At least there was something. At least there, for a while there was something there. Maybe post-World War II, patriotic idealism. We beat the Nazis. We beat the Japanese, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And now it's it's, you know, a kind of a Patreon thing, but, you know, eventually we've just deteriorated back into this incorporated nightmare, you know, that's no longer based
you,
on...
You mentioned the Japanese, that there's a movie fix to come out about the Liberty. Of course, that's not the Japanese, but Admiral Zumwalt and some of the other ones that were involved in that thing, the FDR and Stalin and Churchill and stuff, these people absolutely were terrorists. They were global international terrorists who precipitated and poked the Japanese until they didn't have any reason other than to go to war with us. They made them go to war with us, and we've been duped into all these wars. All wars are bankers' war. You know that.
Yeah, and eventually after several, it didn't take many decades for that good faith and credit of the United States that, you know, used to be the ideal and the good guy, and now it's, and look what it is. Now we're worth hundreds of trillions, most likely, of dollars in debt, completely owned by foreign banking entities, completely managed by multinational corporations and their hired hit squads. The incorporated police, the incorporated town, everybody's got to be a corporation now. Everybody's living under the edict of the bar. The United, you know, this isn't, it's not the place it used to be. So, you know, the good faith and credit of the United States really no longer exists, and the rest of the world is seeing that. We know once we lost the moral high ground, take God out of the schools, take God out of the media, take Jesus out of the manger in the public square, take the American flag off the T-shirt, you know, patriots are terrorists, blah, 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 blah. Typical Communist Party line, and so there is no more. Chris is right. The United States currency is backed up by nothing. If anything, it's backed up by something really bad right now, which is a cabal of an incorporated government that serves itself. And one of the local public prostitutes actually told someone I know that they're not interested in using the money they're getting from the state to rebuild the town that's crumbling. They said, we're interested in making money for ourselves. And he actually came out and said that the town board and the people that work for the, you know, that run the town, they're running it for their own pocketbooks. He was honest and at least enough to say that that's what they were doing. So at least he's an honest thief, I guess. That's how we want to put it.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I throw something else in there to you? Y'all know about fractionalized banking, right?
Huh?
You know about fractionalized banking? You put $10 in, they turn it into 100?
Yeah.
Times 100, you put in
there? Hey, Dean, hold it. Dean, you got to back away from your microphone a little. You're overdriving, and your words are kind of running all together. So back off, slow down a touch, and repeat what you just said. Fractional banking?
Fractionalized banking. That's where you put $10 in, they turn it into 100. They take it times 10. Okay?
Right.
Can you imagine they're wanting to bribe a senator? A senator, they're offering him $10 million to do something. He says, no, I wasn't there to do that for $10 million. I say, okay, how about $100 million? Whatever they give him, and he turns around and puts it in a bank somewhere, they turn around and get 10 times that back. Why wouldn't they bribe people if they can do that?
Sure, right. The cookies are being dangled right in front of them. It's almost, I don't want to say you don't blame, I do blame them because they should not be making those decisions, but I guess, you know, if you're weak, I guess it comes down to what? If you're weak enough morally, you'll bend and give in to the allure and the seduction of having all that money off out of the system. I mean, everybody in it's making a good fortune. Even the lower level guys are making a ton of money to uphold this system. And in one of the sections where they talked about an oath, it was very. I don't want to take the time to pull it out now because. We'll do it maybe tomorrow. But it seemed that one of the requirements to be an administrator of an oath, meaning the person who gives the oath to the, you know, the issuer of the oath, the person who reads the oath, and then there's a person who's being sworn in. The administrator of the oath, it actually had a clause in there that they had to be willing to execute deed on real property. And it seemed like they were, like, part of the oath they were swearing to was to be able to go out, to be willing to go out and steal people's private property. And that was like in the oath, and it was, and it, I still don't know if I was reading it the right way. It was written in a very, very intentionally confusing manner. And when I get to the bottom of that or along the way, I'll share that with people. But that was kind of an insidious, not a very good, kind of a dark corner of the oath thing that if you're going to take this oath, well, you got to be willing to go out and take somebody's house. Not good.
One of the things that they were supposed to do is anytime you ran for one of those positions, like when they sent a governor out to be a governor of a territory until it became a state, they gave him X amount of land because he had to have what's called a freehold in case he screwed up and the people went to sue him on his private capacity. He had to have something to give up. And so they would give him 6,000 acres or 600 acres, I forgot what it was, but they would give him land as his freehold. And then after his term was over and the state became the territory became a state, he got to keep that even though somebody else was elected into the position by the state. And it was no longer that that military governor in there. It was our provisional governor, I think is what they call it. But they had to have a freehold. That governor that's elected in was supposed to have a freehold too. And that is, they put their estate up in case they make a mistake. That was their bond.
Yep. They don't want to do that no more.
Oh, I wonder why. Because they know they're going to screw up.
I could add to that, Dean, if that freehold is more commonly known as a private grant of land-made patent, a fee simple, absolute, allodial title, and that's where you have absolute, the highest order of title that America issues to own land. I happen to have two. That's why I know as much as I do about these things. But that's a special classification of lands that places those lands outside the geographic bounds of the corporate state they lie permanently within, except for concurrent federal felony criminal acts exclusively. None of those statutes, codes, policies, or procedures appertain therein. You're like a country within the state, but extra jurisdictional to the government that operates within the state.
Do they still send you a bill for property taxes or not?
Me? They send them, but you don't have to pay them. Only if you register your property in the county. There's no requirement to register, and you can do a revocation of signature and annul and cancel your registration. Because when you register anything, your car or your property with the state, it's a reverse word, and it's stratified in the name of the corporate regis, and they like to deem the scheme and claim that whenever you register it or you donate it, contribute it, gift it, or give an honorarium to the state, and therefore it's the state's, and that's why they rent it back to you in the core style of taxation, they get their hooks into you.
Yep. So let me know if anybody ceases to pay their property taxes and then the county doesn't make a move on their property. I'd like to hear about it, because almost in all cases, they'll blow right over the best land patent in the world, just like I've seen them ignore really good habeas corpuses. They kept one woman in Connecticut in a I don't want to use the word mental institution. What's the word I'm looking at? Psychiatric ward. She's the most level-headed, clear-headed, straight-shooting person I've ever seen. And, I mean, she's really clear-headed patriot. You know, gives nobody any trouble. Because she was a patriot, she got sucked into the system. All kinds of absurd charges against her, you know, walking without her driver's license and all this other stuff. You know, she didn't want a fingerprint, so resisting arrest and all that. And long and short, the habeas corpus that somebody filed on her behalf, and it was a good one by her neighbor, had to be a paralegal at least, if not an attorney. They completely ignored it, put it at the bottom of the pile, and kept her in there for 6 months. So it's a lot of times the best paperwork, you know, fashioned and formed is still not enough. Now, if you combine it with enough public pressure, you can get almost anything done, even with crappy paperwork. But it is good. It is necessary, and I encourage people to do file their, you know, the papers. As we had one caller, Roger, who called in, listener Roger slash caller, and he said, you know, check the judicial procedure rules for the county or the area that you're going to be filing in. And then at least try to give them something that they're capable of reading. A lot of these judges are completely trained not only to not recognize the common law, but to actually ignore it and put a special blockade up when they see these documents that are written by people who are representing themselves. So, and I encourage people to do so, but try to dot the I's and cross the T's the way the system, at least you have a better chance of them accepting your paperwork and reading past the first couple of paragraphs. Otherwise, it could be just wasted time. But you combine on top of good paperwork a couple thousand phone calls, and then we're talking. And so while I'm on that subject real quick, let me get back to Tom. I want to give the number out again in case we have new listeners. The host of this show, Tom LaCavara, is sitting in jail right now on a trumped-up gun charge. We're trying to put as many calls on the Attorney General's office as possible, and their number in D.C. is 202-514-2000. Once again, that's 202-514-2000. We want Thomas LaCavara let out of county jail in Lane County, Oregon. He's being held on a victimless allegation. Proximity is not possession. He's being charged with possession. Proximity is not possession. Society cannot be a victim. Let Tom go free. Tom's ID number is 392-3405. That's 392-3405. So people, don't forget about Tom. We need to get him out, and the only thing that's going to work is massive public pressure. They're starting to feel the calls. Oh, I forgot to report. Lori said apparently one of the vicar's men there, the deacon, who was like the special appointee for Tom's case, so I know they're hearing the calls. They got a specific guy that they're having work on, supposedly, you know, going to help us with Tom. We'll see. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say, great, they're going to help us. Apparently the word is from Deacon Walsh that he's going to refer it to the Vatican attorneys, the local diocese attorneys, for assistance to work with Tom's attorney. And I asked her if it was okay if I said that on air, and she said sure. So I wanted to report it to y'all. The phone calls are helping. They're going to actually bring in some lawyers from the diocese, and I don't know if they're going to, I don't want to be Machiavellian and pessimistic and say I don't know if they're going to sabotage us or help us. I'm praying to the Lord that they're actually going to come in, and at least the public pressure and the fact that we're making rocking the boat is going to be enough to make those jailhouse doors squeak open and Tom can squeak out. So we'll see what the benefit of the attorneys is. I mean, at least they're giving us some lip service, at least for now, and we'll see if these attorneys produce. We'll see what they do. I am not under any delusions that the attorneys are going to be our friends, but hey, let's give them the
You're
benefit
so
of the
jaded.
Doubt. I know, but I'm still an eternal optimist. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I really hope they're going to help. They're going to want to do something to get him out and feel his pain. It's that simple. I mean, think about Tom sitting there in jail for all these months. He's guaranteed bail. He's supposed to have bail. I don't care if it's high. At least he should have something. They give mafia hitmen in New York bail when they're accused of killing people. I've seen $1 million or $2 million bond, and the mob comes up with it, and they go home and work on their case and show up in court for the trial usually. Tom's not going on the run. He's not going to flee from this charge. I mean, what are they worried about? He's not accused of hurting anyone. Anyone new listeners, you know, these are victimless crimes, we call them. And the police and the state are claiming that society is a victim. Oh, my God. Some magical group of people may be a victim somehow of this guy being near a gun. He's never done a violent thing in his life. So there's no preponderance of the evidence that he was conspiring to do anything or that it was even his gun. The hotel room he was at was not even in his name. He was covering covering events in Oregon for the Bundy scenario, and the only reason they're keeping him, and it's clear, is so he can't get to these trials and do his reporting. And him and John Lamb, that would have been what a great team. And so, but John's covering in the meantime, and we're still getting updates, which you're only going to hear on Resurrect the Republic. I listened to a few rebroadcasts of some other shows, and they didn't have much in the way of. I didn't hear anything said about this trial. Now I could be wrong; they may have had a brief news flash. But they don't have anybody on the scene like we do, so I hope you all value the presence of Resurrect the Republic and everybody who's with us tonight, Keith Jones in Kansas, who donated his time to Dean tonight so Dean could get some information out about the Union States Assembly and the Articles of Confederation. We have Chris in Vegas, who's always valued. And who wants to take the last few minutes and make any comments on this evening, folks?
We don't. Eric, you're what you do there with the court watchers thing. This is something I do too. I was doing that today, learning how to sit in court, be accepted, how to have the uniform du jour, to have paper and pencil and pens, or have a couple of them because you love to run out of ink. You could run out of pad. You might need to have a water bottle. You got to learn how to forge the access points to be able to get into the building in the first place. Have proper paperwork to get in, because if you don't have a government ID, the government agents won't let you in the government's building, because they're all private foreign corporate courts and buildings anyway. So it's all a big illusion that they belong to the people. They sure don't run them like they belong to the people. They run like somebody else owns them, and they should know that we the people are supposed to have those things, but they seem to have dramatically juxtaposed positions.
Exactly. Dramatically juxtaposed positions, yep, i.e. conflict of interest, best-case scenario, racketeering and conspiracy, worst case, and I think it's what we're looking at around the country is worst case. But I'm hoping this new attorney general is going to see the light, and these cases are going to drop. Man, they really have to, because if I'm not seeing Tom walk free, and they continue these absurd prosecutions for victimless crimes or victimless allegations, he didn't commit any crime. I don't want to even call it that. It's a waste of the taxpayers' money. It's abusive to Tom. It's torturous for him. He was in solitary confinement for God knows how long, just only recently put in general. He was brought into court and shackled, hands and feet shackled, like he's some kind of, you know, murderer or something. I mean, the whole thing's a giant scam by the incorporated government, and it's really sickening what's going on with Tom. So, people, please flood the Attorney General's office with phone calls, 202-514-2000. You're going to ask for the director of scheduling, and what are you scheduling? A callback. You want to get a callback from one of the top legislative aides or assistants to Jeff Sessions. And when they call you back, what are you going to say to this person from the Attorney General's office? Well, say, hey, I really enjoy Thomas Lacovara. He's a great reporter, and he's being held as a political prisoner in Lane County, Oregon. His ID number is 392-3405. And he's being charged with possession of a firearm. He wasn't possessing anything. That's number one. And society has to, and the government has to drop this absurd claim that society is somehow a victim. It is not. It's a fictitious entity. Can you put society on the stand? Where's Joseph Society? Where's Susan State? They don't exist. There's not a person that can prove anyone had been done any harm. That means no victim, no crime. And according to Keith, under H.R. 193, we're pulling, it pulls us back into common law, which requires a victim to a crime. We got to go. I hear the music. Please go to courtroomwatch.org and find out more about the courtroom watchers and support us at Resurrect the Republic. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer. Thanks, Keith, Dean, and Chris. John as well. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a good night. Eric, the Freedom Screamer.
God bless America.
Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.